2 Timothy 2, we're talking about seven things, seven people, seven characteristics that God wants us to be like. And he spells it all out. He gives us a kind of picture so that we can understand it, so that we can comprehend it. And behind all of that is some core values about God's kingdom. In verse 11 through 13, we learned what those were. And they were different from what we know to be in our flesh and what the world system is. The world says you climb up the corporate ladder, right? Not so with God. It's more so if you suffer, then you're exalted. And there's nothing wrong with suffering. In fact, it's part of the Christian life, and it's part of what God has for us. And it's completely different. You know, in our world and in our flesh, we want to make things as easy as possible for us, as comfortable as possible as we can make it. But here, God has something different. There's a PowerPoint that somebody might need to run. Sorry. We're going to go through them as we scroll through, and we'll quickly cover from verse 1. Okay. It should be on the desktop, and then you got to go to edit mode, and sorry about this. But see if you can pick them out for yourselves. There's seven throughout the chapter. And as we go through it, you'll be ready to understand what we're talking about. If you haven't been here, if you have been, you know what. And it's just going to be a quick review for us. It's called 2 Timothy 2, 2 Tim 2, PowerPoint. Initializing, it takes a minute. Okay, first one was a son or a daughter. That's in verse 1. Go ahead. We're just going to quickly go through these first ones. We learned what it was. A soldier was next. We learned to fight, endure hardship, an athlete. We talked about these already. Strive lawfully according to the rules. A farmer, one who works hard, but we labor for fruit. Consider what I say. Go ahead and do the next click. And may the Lord give you understanding in all things. The next click. So it's a dual role there. It's part us, partly us, what we have to consider. We have to think about it. But then God needs to give us some understanding because it's not going to make sense to our flesh. Next. Remember that. Go ahead and click. Jesus Christ. Okay, how do we go back now? Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. And that's what gives us the power to live out these things. Go ahead. We talked a lot about suffering, and that's a major theme throughout this book. As Paul was in jail, house arrest, he was in chains, but the word of God is not chained. And so next, we have to allow God to put it, the word of God, in our heads, in our hearts. And here we come now to our new things. The word of God it's going to talk to us about in verse 14. Before we do that, let's just pray really quickly. Lord, speak to us tonight and have your word go forth and your spirit minister to us all. In Jesus' name, amen. Remind them of these things, here Paul tells Timothy, charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. We also learned, going through 1 Timothy, now 2 Timothy, he brings this up many times, not to have words to no profit, not just to speak, but to have purpose. Verse 15, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Next. Go ahead and click next. So this is the next one. A student, I called it, and the more I studied it, we changed it a little. Go ahead and click again. A workman. A workman who is a student. Well, that's a lot there. There's a lot there in those in this picture of who God's calling us to be. Go ahead. Let's define it first. A worker is a laborer. Again, a hard-working person, a workman, always at work. And then a student, a person who studies, as at school or college. I've been studying, I was studying for a big test. It's 8 hours. It's 80 questions, so you have 6 minutes per question, but it's multiple choice, so it's not that bad. But there's, you're allowed to bring in books, and it's a big suitcase of books that I had, and it was crazy. But there's something different than just reading a book and studying a book. Now, I'm glad with God it's only the Bible. It's not a whole suitcase. And we can add other books to help us understand it. But, you know, I would challenge you. If you're just reading the Bible, that's great. And continue to read it. But there's something different between reading and studying. To study it and rightly divide it. And for those who are younger, Louisa, if there is... The Bible is not always divided right, even into chapters. And sometimes you got to understand the verses, and so you got to look and you got to read it a little bit more. But when they were dividing the books in chapters, and they divided it wrong sometimes, so you got to know and you got to understand what you're studying to rightly divide God's word. But shun, verse 16, let's continue on. Shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness. Verse 17, and their message will spread like a cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort, who have strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past, and they overthrow the faith of some. So if we continue talking, it's going to be like a cancer. And cancer is just horrible. I'm sure we've all had people who've been affected by cancer of some sort. But once you have it, it's hard to stop and it keeps spreading. And that's like speaking with no purpose. Verse 19. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are His, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. The theme verse of 1 Timothy, if we can remember that, how to conduct ourselves in the church, that's what 1 Timothy is about. And it says after that, the pillar and ground of the truth. The church, not the church building, but the church. What is the church? We are the church. Those who know Christ, those who are believers, we are the church. We make up the church. We don't. When we leave, the church goes with us, right? We are the church. We go, we bring the church out to the world. But the pillar of ground of the truth, and here he says it's the foundation of God. The Lord knows who are His. The Lord knows who His church is. And let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. I was listening to Dave Ramsey, and he's on the radio, and he has a ministry of helping people understand finances. And he was talking to a caller, and a caller said, I have a situation. I'm $30,000 in credit card debt, and I talked to a Christian credit company, and they said, stop paying your bills. Christian credit card company, stop paying your bills, and then settle with them for 70% less. Sounds good in the end, but it sounds a little scary. He says, if you are going to put the cross over something, don't go and sin in it. Don't say the wrong thing and put the cross in it. And that's exactly what this is saying. If you're going to name the name of Christ, if you're going to say you're a Christian, don't go out and sin, but live holy and live righteous and live according to God's word. Verse 20, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. And this is great. Here again, this picture, it comes. It's this great house, and you have some vessels, gold and silver, and some wood, and clay. Go ahead and click again. So here we have our vessel of honor and our vessel of dishonor. Okay. Go ahead. Let's define what this is. Anything hollow for holding something, a container. And this is, I'm really starting to get excited about this because you can really see this picture in your head. And who we're supposed to be. So we're supposed to be like a pot. Something that we can hold. Let's keep reading to gain some more understanding. 21, therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Some for dishonor, some for honor. Those that are called to honor, sanctified and fit for the master's use. Separated, clean. We have a dishwasher, and if you put something in a dishwasher and it doesn't come out clean, it gets really like that crusty, like it's really nasty and yucky. And then you put it away, not thinking about it, and then you get it back out, and you're like, I'm ready to use this. And so we get it back out, and it's like, oh, this is gross, this is disgusting, it's all crusty. So you throw it in the sink, and you have to wash it again. That's what he's saying here. Let's be ready when God wants to use us. Let's be ready. Let's have our vessel clean. Let's be hollow. Let's get rid of ourselves and be filled with the Spirit, right? That's what God says. Be filled with the Spirit so you not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You can be clean. When God has a work for you, He can just grab you, grab hold of you, and put you into action. And we can be profitable. Verse 22. Flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. To be able, there's a few things that we've learned about fighting in this chapter. As a soldier, we talked about it, and we covered it a little bit. We said there's three aspects of fighting. There's really three aspects. One is standing. Just stand your ground. Don't let the enemy gain any ground. Stand where you're at. The second is battle. The third is get out of here. Get out of there. Sometimes you got to get out of the situation. And this is it. Flee youthful lusts. Now, those of us who are older, I think this still applies. I know I still have to flee youthful lusts, but it's particularly for those who are young. But if you're older, I think you can still, this still applies to us. Flee youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. If we don't fill our temptations and our weaknesses with this, he says, instead of being filled with lust, instead of sitting there in temptation and getting ready to sin, fill it with other things. Righteousness, faith, love, peace. And that's a rule here of God's kingdom too. If we don't fill it with something else, we're going to naturally be in lust. And there's something I want to say about this is understand what temptation is. Temptation is not sin, but when you're tempted, you're drawn away, and then you sin. Sin produces death. That's what it says in the Bible. I'm accountable to Jason on a lot of things, and I would tell him, I said, I lingered a little bit too long there. And I fell in sin. I lingered a little too long. I should have got out of there. I should have fled. Should have ran. So practically speaking, if it's our mind, run. Go to a different subject. If it's practically physical, get out of there. And then fill it. Don't just run and do nothing, but then fill it with righteousness, faith, love, peace. verse 23. This is where it really connects and it really speaks to me, this last section. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. Okay, the next one. Here it is. I couldn't find the word. Servant. I'm like, it was in the New King James. It was in the King James. A servant. What is a servant? Person who is hired to work in another's home as a maid, cook, a chauffeur, someone who serves or helps. That was a little too nice. The Greek word is slave. Slave. It's more than someone who's hired and who's paid, but it's a slave. And it gives us some characteristics of a servant. Someone who's gentle to everyone, who's patient, who's able to teach, instructing those who oppose themselves. This is one I'm going to have to think about, and God's going to have to give me understanding, because I really believe he's calling me right now to this, but to understand what this is. At work, we had, all of a sudden, my friend and coworker was terminated, and my boss was telling a little about the situation, and it hits home on some of these points. Like, she wasn't humble, and she was opposing herself. she wasn't able to be taught, and she wasn't correctable. He said she was like a clam who, every time he offered something, she would close up and she wouldn't receive it. So, this is why it hits home to me, is surprising. We're to avoid these foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient. And so how does verse 3 and verse 4 coincide or coexist with a servant? How are we to be a soldier and a servant? Okay, a soldier, enduring hardship, engaged in warfare, we're fighting off the enemy, and now we're to be a slave. We're to be a servant. We're to be humble. We're to be meek. We're not to be in people's faces. I think we can be, with God's help. We can. When it's time to fight, we got to fight. And when it's time to be a servant, we got to be a servant. And God's going to give us the understanding to do just that. So, next. Who does God want us to be? Gives us some great pictures in this chapter to live in this world. What are we supposed to do? One more. According to his core kingdom values. He's given us some principles by which to live by. He's given us some pictures. Let's review them one more time. Go ahead. Son or a daughter, soldier, an athlete, a farmer, a workman, a student, one who studies the word of God, a vessel, and then finally a servant. So that's all. Lord, let's pray. Lord, we do ask for understanding and direction. We pray that we will be able to think about these things, and we thank you that you've made them stuff that we deal with in our everyday lives. As we go to pick up the bowl that's dirty, remind us of this, Lord, and we want to be clean and ready to be used. Or a servant, as we're at work and we're serving the boss, Lord, help us serve you. And all these, as we're children and as athletes, as we watch TV and think about that, Lord, help us think about this and consider all this. But more importantly than that, give us the understanding that we need and to live in your kingdom. We're in this world, we're in it, we're not of it, but help us to live in this world to make a difference. And thank you for calling us. You've called us to be who you've called us to be. And we thank you for that, for giving us the position of son or a daughter in your kingdom to be used by you is amazing, Lord. Thank you for that. We pray for direction for our week and coming up, and we thank you for everything that's going on, for the tea that you blessed that, and the Christmas program, and thank you that for everyone who's here. You just bless them and encourage them, and continue to help us read and study your word. Help us get deeper and deeper in love with you. In Jesus' name, amen.